I could see where maybe you don't want to serve his kind, but I feel like they're spitting on him a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a freak. Get the fuck out of here, freak boy. He's like, he can punch you into space.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm going to move this chair closer.
Toss a coin to your bitcher, oh valley of bitches.
You feel smart? Do you feel like you invented that?
No, I don't. I didn't. But I have been getting like a lot of joy lately from putting poop and fart in songs, like a child. And it's bringing me amounts of joy that make the other part of my brain uncomfortable. Like, where, like the adult part's like kind of like, you know, outside of itself, like watching itself sing your songs. And I'm just, and it's like, where did we go home?
Your super ego is like, what have you done?
What happened? I don't understand where we lost him.
Where we went wrong. Sit soft, by the way.
I'm Kyle.
We're trying a different room today.
Yeah, I hope this is cool.
It'll probably be fun.
And this is Kevin, he's talking.
Yeah.
And there's a can dork over there.
Here.
This room is not square.
But last time we abruptly ended with some potential Witcher talk, and we were going to kind of evaluate the different stages we have. You're freaking me out.
Sorry. I'm trying to remember where my coworkers went, because they disappeared.
Yeah, they're just playing ping pong.
Yeah, I know.
I'm waiting on them.
So, so basically where we were at last time, in case you don't follow episodes in serial, is
Jason
is that I have read the book and watched the show. Kevin has played the game and watched the show and is currently reading the book. And Kendrick has watched the show and not played or read.
Not participated at all
in
anything else willfully.
So he knows enough that we can talk about some of it. But what are your general thoughts about the Witcher video game, Kev?
I very much enjoyed them. I played the second and third ones for quite a long time, and they're just fun.
It's like Dark Souls.
They can get hard.
I love comparing everything.
The first one is
probably
the most Dark Souls like
in
terms
of
it's like just general difficulty for no reason.
Yeah. The term PC Master Race came from that game, from The Witcher.
Yeah, from the
The Escapist.
Yeah, The Escapist.
What's his name? Yahtzee.
Yahtzee. He came up with the PC Master Race.
Yeah, and it was because he was reviewing The Witcher. Because there's so many thousands and thousands of controls and buttons that you have to press on the keyboard for various things.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's been a while then, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 2008 that one came out.
To be fair,
No, that was it.
The Witcher came out in like the 90s, like early 90s.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty old franchise.
Well.
Relatively. I mean, it's not like...
For fantasy, it makes it the newest.
I guess you're right. Like, I'm not like... I guess Martin has been writing for so long that...
Martin has not released a book since they first started filming Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That's an important thing to remember. And it's been 10 years?
I guess when I think of something that's like 92, I'm like, 92? That's like 2 decades ago. Like, that's so long. I'm so...
That's three.
Oh, fuck me. I'm even worse. Yeah,
it's 3 decades ago. But the only, like... major big name fantasies that have come out since then are probably Harry Potter, which is probably the newest.
When was the first Dresden book?
Oh, and Dresden, but I don't usually, Dresden's not usually considered a big influential fantasy. Dresden was early 2000s.
What about Sanderson?
Brandon Sanderson? Yeah, his stuff's relatively new.
Okay. Anyway, I get what your point is.
Sanderson's new.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, Lord of the Rings is almost 100 years old, right? Or whatever.
You're right. I was putting it more in like the
Song of Ice and Fire, first one came out in 91.
Okay, so they're about the same time.
Yes, because this was 92,
but
the first one.
We have to keep in mind, this is a Polish 92, which is like an everywhere else in the world, like 80s and 70s.
I mean, kidding. Yeah. No, I mean, there's not that... It's complicated. I mean, Eastern Europe, post-Soviet breakup, is a weird place. So,
which probably actually influenced a lot of the writing, but... Anyway, so the game... Yeah. Witcher 1, PC Master Race, that's where we work out.
Yep. But having played the games, it's making the show and the books just way more exciting for me. I just started reading the books like 3 or 4 days ago, and it's...
Your balls deep.
Yeah, it's got me gripped. I'm gripped in.
Right in the balls.
Ball grip.
So the interesting part
ball
is...
Ball grip.
The game tries to take place after the book series, right? Which means that...
Yep.
It's not in any... Well, the third game, I know, officially takes place after the last book.
Yeah, it's
I don't know about
the
first and second, anyway, but the books and the show are the only things that are competing story-wise right now, but they're not doing it in such a way that it's, like, The Hobbit versus the Hobbit book, like, where it's just completely different. They're trying to, like, Well, we read the interview, right?
Right. He's just doing stuff.
Yeah, he's like, he basically has no ownership over like the show, which is
he's claiming none. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had nothing to do with the games.
Yeah,
and they
like
were
nothing
very,
at all.
They're like super. I mean, they're loosely based. I think it's more of they took the characters and ran with them.
But they didn't
world.
Like. But they didn't like bring back someone he killed in the first book, which is like a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't like take characters who were dead and like. In
no, they
just, like
they continued living in the world,
mm-hmm.
and that
yeah.
that I
yeah.
think is the best adaptation you can do.
Exactly, like, and that's what kind of was getting at is like the free reign there. I think allowed
mm-hmm.
them to be able to can come to the idea that that might be the best thing we can do. Is just
well, and some of the show came in before. Well, spoiler, I guess, but the show takes place over a number of different timelines, right?
Mm-hmm.
The earliest of which are actually from before he was alive.
Who, The Witcher?
The TV show, yeah.
The TV show. He's alive the whole time. I thought.
No, there are three timelines that coincide by the end, but Yennefer's timeline is either right when he was very young or before he was actually born.
Oh, I thought
Yennefer's slightly older than
I thought Yennefer was older than he was. Okay.
He is. She is older than
I'm
him.
Sorry, I thought The Witcher was older than Yennefer.
Well, the stuff I've read says that
no,
Yennefer's
if you've
older,
read stuff you're
but
doing.
That doesn't necessarily mean that that's true for the show. But it does mean that he wasn't necessarily... Well, events that have transpired elsewhere did not transpire during the first part of Yennefer's story arc in the TV show when
yeah.
she was before she was picked up and like this. So that happened either early on in Witcher's life or before he was born. Meaning those events technically predate any books because they are before the Witcher was the Witcher.
Which is actually an interesting point that you bring up because that's the only place that Yennefer's like backstory in the series so far that I've read has yet to be addressed, has been addressed. Like her like pre
mm-hmm.
like finishing the magic school training stuff
mm-hmm.
is never addressed
the
anywhere.
Shittiest Hogwarts ever.
Yeah. And so like that's kind of cool that they elaborate on this. And that's what I like about this whole Witcher thing is it doesn't seem to be like it doesn't make you feel like you're out of one if you're in the other. Like it kind of all builds on itself
yeah,
in
all,
a way.
Yeah.
That's not too conflicting.
I think that's partially because the characters aren't well, there aren't that many characters that are active, right? They're or interact with each other. Like Game of Thrones struggled with a lot of stuff because there are so many characters and they're all interacting with each other that if you edit any part of that, you have these ripple effects that go on forever. Like
mm-hmm.
when they remove the character, it's like, well, all of a sudden this whole chapter from this book doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Well, jettison the whole storyline. and since there are a lot fewer of those like sort of long-running character relationships that are super meaningful, you can adjust things and fiddle with things, and you can put in a whole backstory for a mysterious character without changing the character.
And the thing about Game of Thrones is that they're all human timelines, even
mm-hmm.
less than that, like because, I mean, they're in a fantasy world where everything's disgusting.
Right.
But that freedom comes from the fact that Yennefer and the Witcher are like... they don't live over human timelines. So like,
right.
And that's an interesting part we talked about
yeah.
with Dandelion or Eskir or whatever his name
yeah,
is.
Eskir, yeah.
But like, they have the ability to be like, well, you wouldn't have seen that character ever before because this is 100 years later than that
right.
other thing.
Well, and that's also where Geralt. I always want to say Geralt.
I do too.
It looks like
but,
Gerald
yeah.
and then it changes Jukes on you at the end.
Hey, Gerald.
But Geralt.
Hey, Geralt the Witcher.
The Watcher. He's a couple hundred years old, right? In
I think so.
Well,
yeah.
depending on where you are in the storyline, right? Because he's got those different stories. But part of the thing is that most of the books, from what I understand, most of the stories about him are not like Lord of the Rings style. He started here and then he ended there. More like, and then another completely atomic adventure from The Witcher.
That's the first two books. The last six or seven are continuous.
More
except for like breaks between series, but like. Usually it's not like it's like a storyline over a long time. Like the first book that's not a short story book is called Blood of Elves, and that happens right at the end of the first season of the show.
Okay.
And so like that from then on the books are like in sequence and they tell a coherent story about
okay.
what's happening.
But that's not how he was originally kind of designing it. I got the impression he liked to sit
yeah.
down and just write a story and then move on.
As far well, the first two books are short stories, so I would say that too, but I'm not sure that they're the first two books chronologically
publication date?
Publishing date. Like, I think he started with Blood Elves and then went back and built a bunch of the world. But I don't know, like... Because I don't know if he's, like, butchering it. Jim butchering it?
Yeah.
Like, where he, like, puts the
Jim
stories in
Butcher.
Afterwards, but... all of the stuff that happens in the two short stories books happens before the, like, the proper series starts. Okay. So.
So, I do have to say this, though. I did not care for the bard character.
Yeah, Yaskir, Dandelion, or whatever. Because are they saying Dandelion in yours instead
yeah.
of Dandelion? Okay. Because yeah. he's an interesting part, because... I don't know. He's just like that weird friend that The Witcher has,
mm-hmm.
and he's like a good...
he's a great plot exposition
yeah.
character.
Interestingly, he's about the same age in the game, but the game is set way in the future.
Yeah, so people think that he's immortal, basically,
yeah.
because he's
oh.
been around since okay. The Witcher yet met Yennefer.
He's a much different character in the game than the show.
I suspect it
yeah.
much.
And the book, he's like way more... he's like way more of a, like... problem a lot of the time. Like, he tells people things that, because he's trying to become a famous bard, and his story is a little bit more, like, interesting, just because him and the Witcher, you're like, how do they even hang out with each other? But then Geralt is always like, I gotta save him again, I guess, so this is the thing. So, but the one I'm in right now, they got in a really big fight for some reason, and it's, like, fun to watch them, because they're, like, a married couple.
So, I also... and this is something that I find interesting. I want to talk a little bit about again, because I feel like we touched on it yesterday, last week, but
yesterweek.
But I don't know if we talked a lot about it. I listened. Someone told me to listen to the song. The song was really cool. You gotta check out the Throw a Coin to Your Witcher, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I did, and we played it up on YouTube. And we watched the original, like the someone had a music video for it, and we were watching it. Like, this song isn't very good. And we watched someone do like a metal cover, and we're like, okay, like I don't get it. Like, what's the point? And then I went back and watched the show and saw the original part where they actually when he first sings the song. And I'm like, oh, okay, I see what the hell they're talking about. But I still don't like the song. So my theory is that the quality of the song, much like any other song anyone really gives a shit about, is more about the context in which you listened to the song, where you were physically or emotionally or psychologically.
Donnie Darko effect.
Yeah, sure. yeah.
Well, we talked about
that's
that.
That's weirdly succinct.
Yeah.
But I would suggest then that if you listen to that song first, there's a good chance you're going to think it's stupid. And then if you watch the show and then you heard the song in the context of describing the events you saw as he chose to portray them, then it's like really interesting.
Yeah, and... I agree with that 100%. Like, I think that I sing it because I am a sucker for pop. Like,
yeah.
pop things are catchy, and so, like, they get excited.
It's catchy.
Head,
it's definitely catchy.
But it's like, I don't, like, go listen to Toss a Coin for Your Witcher every 5 minutes. Like,
right.
I don't listen to it at all, in fact. And I've listened to maybe one or two YouTube videos after the fact, but I always get excited when there's music specific to a thing, about a thing. Like,
sure.
Like when The Hobbit, they sing the song from The Hobbit.
I
like,
love that song.
Yeah, I was like...
But,
oh, so cool.
Would I have loved that song if... Misty Mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would I have loved that song if it wasn't in the context of a pretty epic scene that was really impactful? Or would I not have liked it as much as hearing it, you know? It's kind of like, what was the webcomic, SNBC probably, or whatever, had the quality of pop music peak when I was the most emotionally vulnerable.
yeah.
And it's like...
Fair.
It's not, yeah.
and the other part, too, is, like, much like The Hobbit, they do sing in, like, Jaskier or Dandelion or Dandelion sings in the book when
the
you guys reading it.
Bardman.
Yeah. Sunflower's his name in something, too. I think that's his original translated name. But anyway, he sings in, they do a lot of bard singing in the book, too, which is kind of, like, reminds me of the audiobook of The Hobbit, because they, like, sing all the songs in The Hobbit, not just Misty Mountains, but, all of them. And it's really cool to, like, hear the author kind of, like...
Yeah.
Do it, and so like that made it a little. I think retroactively that made it a little more interesting because I was like, "Oh, cool!" Like they decided to include the music from the book, or like they obviously Toss a Coin to Your Witcher is not in the book, but
yeah.
It's just like, "Oh, cool!" They're taking that theme out of the book where the book has like written songs and sonnets and melodies
Lord of the Rings
and stuff.
Shot full of those.
Yeah, which I always find entertaining. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's like the greatest thing since sliced bread either.
It's just. I don't know, everyone's all stoked about it, and I feel like I'm missing it.
And it's a pretty big, like, in the show, it's a pretty big, like, plot point, because, like,
yeah.
that's how they become friends, because, like,
yeah.
Jaskier makes everybody like The Witcher again because of the song, and it's like, oh, wow, they don't
yeah.
hate him for being the butcher of whatever, and...
Yeah, why do they hate him again?
Because Dragobor convinced a bunch of people that he killed those people in the town for like no reason.
Right, but they didn't already exactly like him before that.
Yes, Dragobor, what is her name? The ladies, like, guys didn't like him, but yeah, you're right, the bartender didn't either, but...
Lots of people seem to dislike The Witcher, and they don't, I mean, I find this to be a strange, and it maybe makes more sense in the book, but this is something that always threw me, is everyone's like, stupid subhuman mutants, like, he could tear you in half, like, with his hands, why are you treating him like shit? Like, I could see where maybe you don't want to serve his kind, but I feel like they're spitting on him a lot more, like, you're a freak, get the fuck out of here, freak boy, like, he can punch you into space.
I think that might be just like an... Because I don't think they do that in a lot of the show after the first few episodes, do they?
No, he's still not really welcome anywhere. No one really wants to look at him or, like, do business. Because,
like, I don't really feel like that way anymore in the books. Like, after this first book, I was just kind of like... He starts to get renowned for stuff. And, like, when people are like, oh, man, Geralt the White Wolf, like, sick. Like, let's pay him to do shit. And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm neutral.
But
and then
everybody
ends up doing
is always
stuff
like,
anyway.
I guess we'll pay you, scum.
Yeah, that's true. I think that, like, that is definitely, I'm remembering correctly, it's definitely the case before he gets, like, a lot of renown.
Yeah.
And, like, because people start knowing him for being for the Child of Destiny thing, and then he, like, starts saving more than just, like, small towns and stuff like that in these big events, and so they're like, oh, shit, maybe the Witcher is, like, a good guy. And for some reason, they don't really talk about a lot of the other Witcher's adventures. It's just following Geralt, sorry.
Right.
Gerald.
It's just following G-Dog.
Jerry.
G-D-Z.
Jerry.
And, no, don't ever say it. And
Jerry the Watcher.
But there are other Witchers that are referenced in Blood of Elves at the very beginning.
We see one on the show.
Do you?
He gets
murdered. He gets
murdered. Real bad. His heart and liver ripped out.
Yeah. And then, so, like, I'm assuming that, like, he's the only one that does stuff that outwardly, or... they just, like, aren't in the same regions or something.
Well, in the show, he mentions that there aren't many left.
Yeah,
they're not making more because they destroyed something. I don't remember what it was. There was something they raised. So he said, we're not going to have any more since the raising of blah, blah, something.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever happened means they're not going to have more. And it's probably because they burned down whatever horrifying torturescape they make.
In the book, at least, the people who used to do the mutation stuff for the Witchers are dead.
Yeah.
And they haven't found another wizard who knows it yet. So, like, they can't, like, mutate new people. They can augment them via, like, the chemicals that they can glean
potions
from, like... Because the Trial of Grasses is about... It's, like, that's how you make a Witcher. And it's partially about, like, feeding them certain things to make their, like, body change.
Yeah.
And the other part is, like, literally using magic to, like...
Change your DNA.
Change your DNA, yeah. And so, like, they can do the first part because they know all the stuff to make the first part, but they don't know magic well enough to do the second part.
That makes sense.
So. And then apparently, somewhere along the line, and I think one of our coworkers told me this, but you figure out, and this might be, like, weird spoiler stuff, so good luck with this, but you figure out that the world they're in is actually, like, it's, like, our world. It's, like, very, very far virgin of our world.
Good.
And it's referenced time to time, like, before there was magic, everything went to shit because there was no magic and stuff like that. And kind of like the Chronicles of Shinra, where, like, they're in a straight post-apocalyptic and, like, orcs are, like, crazy fallout human mutations and stuff. If you haven't seen that, too, Lord of Shinra Chronicles is pretty cool because of that thing where, like, there's, like, they basically nuke the Earth and then thousands of years later the only survivors are, like, these really crazy mutated versions of humans, like elves and orcs and stuff. But... theoretically, that's what they say, mutations and stuff like that, too, because it's a carryover from, like, the, like, mutating and radiation and all that stuff that could have happened when the Earth ended. But I haven't got to a part where that's directly referenced, but they did talk about, there's a part in the book where this new magic council forms, and they talk about how before there was any magic and people believed in just, like, science and stuff like that, bad things ended up happening. And I was like, oh, shit, like,
uh-oh.
Is that... Are we there?
What?
When is this, like, 3031?
Interesting.
Yeah, so, like, that could be interesting at some point, too, but...
Where are all the guns?
Where are all the guns? Could you...
Oh, they also reference, too, that, like, someone starts talking about how ranged weapons are going to be a big deal in the future. And, like, right now they use them. They use, like, bows and stuff like that and cannons. But, like, they don't, like... It's not how wars are fought. And they reference, like, a joke. It's, like, an inside joke for all the readers about how, like, that'll never happen. You'll never be able to really truly fight someone unless you're in, like, you know, engagement distance. Like, there's no way that we'll come up with something. And Jaskier keeps, like, talking about how bows are going to be the way of the future and stuff like that.
Yeah. Just been doing an audiobook. Our whole trip to Durango and back, Kate and I were listening to her audiobook on World War I. And the narrator is kind of like a Werner Herzog light, but he, not quite as bleak, but just simple. Not, I mean, it's World War I, so it is bleak.
The topic is bleak, but
yeah, it can't not be bleak. And the guy's pretty mild. He's, I mean, it was not like sleep inducing, but it wasn't. You don't really want to be fun and wacky when you're talking about how many millions of Armenians were just murdered for no reason. And it's like, huh. Or how the British commanders were like, let's just send wave after wave of our own men. The Germans will run out of bullets eventually. Like, that's not exactly it, but that was very similar to how they handled it. But it's very interesting that you mentioned the ranged weapons being the future, and everyone would be like, nah, that ain't it. Because in World War I, they were still doing cavalry charges with lances.
Oh, really?
Against machine guns. And it wasn't working, but they didn't stop. Because they were like, no, all these fucking newfangled things, no. Lances, spears, that's the answer.
Yeah, like
spears have been dominating on the battlefield for 4,000 years. They didn't stop anytime soon.
We've been training for this, okay?
Yeah, we know what we're doing here.
Like, nobody with a gun who's been training with it for, like, a month can beat us because we've been cavalrying for, like, years and years.
Yeah, we can spear that guy before he shoots. Oh, wow, look, the bullets go through horses, huh?
Oh, my God, they go through horses. Bullets, my only weakness.
Yeah. Which was funny to me that they're still thinking that, because this is the 19-teens, right? Like, we've had guns.
Within the last century, like...
No, not anymore, actually.
Oh, come on! I'm rounding down. 19 teens? That's like almost 100 years.
Over
100 down.
Years ago.
Yeah, but like that sounds so much more like thousands and billions of years ago.
No, but
ago.
The repeating rifles were a thing. Like it wasn't like muskets. Muskets were not a thing for 70 years, 50 years at that point. Well, okay, fine. Cartridge rounds, repeating cartridge rounds like that were around for several wars before that. So
wow.
These guys were just, like, way the fuck in the past.
Was the Mosin from World War I?
Pre-World War I.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Mosin was designed in 1989.
That's the first, like, clip gun I saw.
It's
I
not
seen.
The first, but it's one of the earlier ones.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the first one that I've seen
yeah,
that was that old that I've
yeah.
actually shot.
So, the design of the Mosin, because it's the Mosin 89, Mosin Nagant 89-35, depending on which one you get. It was designed in 89 and then revised in 35.
Okay.
So 1889 and then 1935.
Wow.
So depending on which, if you haven't, most people don't have an 89 one. There weren't that many made then,
but still,
the original design's from then.
But still, like people do own them from like
the
1930s.
30s, 40s, and 30s and 40s are the most common ones.
But
mine was
gun,
built,
it's still
mine's fire. From 43,
okay.
I think.
Having
the serial
a gun
numbers
still
are,
fires from then, and it's like
yeah.
still reliable.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
the older ones are worth more, obviously. They cranked up production for World War II, which is funny to think about, like World War II. Not that, I mean, it, not that long ago, but bolt-action rifles were the thing. And
mm-hmm.
then right after that, the repeating rifle, the semi-automatic became much more popular. Other people were using semi-automatics, too. But the Russians were like, we'll just make a shitload of them. Which is actually interesting, because they partially learned that from the British in World War I, because World War I British on the Western Front fighting the Germans had a level of a rate of fire where the Germans thought they had machine guns. Because they were just so good at firing their Enfields.
Hmm.
The bolt-action Enfield. I think they're... Bolt action. I don't think they were semi-automatic, but they were so good at it because they were the British military were the only like standing military at that time in Europe. They were the ones that had just come back from South Africa where they were fighting a war. So they left a war to go fight another war. So they were all good for war, and they were just laying out so much gunfire that everyone was like, oh, they got machine guns too. Shit.
So like, I think you addressed this once in a smaller version on Scottish Isles when you guys were there looking
yep.
through like war and stuff, but like. There's got to be just places that are just littered with leftover like casings and
yeah, oh yeah,
shells and like
yep.
Actual like bullets everywhere.
Yep. Normandy, I think, still has a lot of like you can't grow stuff from the sheer amount of lead in the ground.
Did they destroy the trenches after that? Or are there still places where like,
there
the
are
trenches...
places where you can see undulations? The trenches did. I mean, most of the places in Ypres and Western like front there,
they had to use sandbags to keep it together, and eventually I think it's canvas sandbags,
okay.
So it all breaks down after a while.
Okay.
It just kind of washes in. Plus, few places had trenches that lasted for a long time because of the ridiculous amount of artillery bombardments. Just turned everything to mush. So, but
which is like, it's like fixes itself. So if you like
yeah.
got like war residue, just bombard it and then
bombard the shit out of
you
it.
Get
that's
good
also
mix
up. Why there are very few fortresses left in Europe. This is something interesting because in the end of the 19th century, there were a shitload of fortresses,
like castles or just like legit built,
like 19th century
bunkers.
Yeah, concrete
okay.
stone like bunkers and big buildings. Well, it turns out you could blast the crap out of those things with artillery until it's powder, and they did all of them.
And that's why
gone.
Video games do it now, because it's more realistic.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Turns out I can talk a lot about that now that I've just been listening to these for a few bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same reason we're talking about The Witcher.
Well, I mean,
to
yeah.
So listen to audiobooks.
Yeah.
Listen to audiobooks. It'll inspire you to have much more interesting conversation, you boring fucking peasants. Don't listen to podcasts. They're stupid.
Yeah, they're dumb.
Mindless.
We should just do, like, in the next 3 episodes, reading, like, really bad books.
I
want to
do
the Twilight.
I'll just do the Werner Herzog Laffy Taffy joke. I want to try and practice my Werner Herzog voice and learn how to weave bullshit.
Let's open up the next 3 podcasts with Werner Herzog and Laffy Taffys.
Okay. Like, comment, and subscribe, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.